mercy, receiving what we don't deserve. That's mercy. And those two pieces of wood that made the cross, and the man that hung there who sacrificed everything. That happened at the cross. Thank you, Quartet, for taking us there. What a wonderful way. And for you and I, we have the benefit of that cross. The Bible says in Galatians 6:5-24, those who belong to Christ have nailed their natural evil desires to the cross and crucified them there. You know, when I think about the cross, and when I think about crucifixion, and I see somebody hanging on a cross, I'm thinking that there are three things, among others, that a person who is nailed to the cross cannot do. A person nailed to a cross cannot look behind him. And so Paul says, we as believers, we have nailed our desires to that cross, which means you and I as believers do not look behind us anymore. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind. And if you and I have nailed our sin, our personal desires to the cross, we don't look back anymore. A second thing that a person who is nailed to the cross cannot do anymore is have any plans of his own. Once we've been nailed to the cross, like Galatians says, our personal desires and plans have been put aside, people. And if you're here to celebrate communion this morning and to celebrate that incredible sacrifice that Jesus made, then you and I have a decision to make. Have I really been nailed to the cross? Have I nailed my sins to the cross? Have I been nailed personally to that cross? And therefore, I have no plans of my own anymore. I'm God's. He has my life. He has my all. He has my desires. I'm his. And as we look at communion, at the bread, have we been nailed to the cross? And a third thing that a man who has been nailed to the cross experiences is death. Death to self. Death to personal desires. And a dead person is that. And Paul says, we are dead to this world. We have been crucified to this world. But we are alive in and to Christ. So what are your desires, my friend? As we celebrate communion today, have you come with a heart that's alive to Christ? Or have you come with a heart that is struggling with sin? And if you have, I got news for you. God's here to accept you, not reject you. He's here to bring that mercy down that the quartet sang about. And for you to take those inhibitions, those sins, those evil thoughts, whatever they might be, and to nail them to the cross and not to look back at them. And so as we think today about the cross, we celebrate by the breaking of bread. And Jesus said in 1 Corinthians, "This is my body, which has been broken for you." And he says, "This do in remembrance of me." So I ask you, what are you remembering? What am I remembering when I come to the bread? Because Jesus' body was broken and bruised, and he died in order that you and 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 me, all of us can receive that mercy. And you know what that means? To me, that means unity. Jesus' body was broken so that every one of us here, doesn't matter background, doesn't matter nationality, doesn't matter language, tongue, whatever it is, every single one of us can receive that mercy. That's what it means to me. Jesus died to bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. That's why he died, to bring oneness and use unity. Unity in this body. Unity in the community where you live. Unity with your neighbors. Unity in the town where you happen to reside. Unity together with the people that you work with, even if they're not believers. God died for them too. And so we celebrate today his broken body for each and every person. Here in Canada, in North America, and around the world. So what are you remembering when Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me"? Christ's death brings unity, not diversity or animosity. That's what his bread, his broken body, represents. And so as the deacons come, I invite you to close your eyes and take a moment and pray. Just pray and cleanse your heart. Prepare yourself to communicate with Jesus, with God this morning, as you participate in the bread which represents his broken body. Take a moment right now.
Lord, we come before you, and we think of your sacrifice for us personally, for each individual of us, for myself. You broke your body so that we can have salvation. Thank you very much for that gift that we have not deserved, but it's your grace. As we partake in this communion, bless this bread as a symbol and in remembrance of you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Let's remember the broken body. We'll retain the bread till it's been passed out, and then we'll participate together. And I invite you, if you're a believer and have a right relationship with God this morning, you may participate with us in the breaking of the bread. And he took the bread and broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's participate. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You and I bear the marks of the cross. And we do that because there is a Redeemer who loves us and cared for us. We're going to sing together some more music.
Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh. There is not a mother, sister, friend, or brother loves the way that Jesus can. He proved his love for me when he died on Calvary. He gave his life for fallen man.
His love
is a boundless love, and it reaches down and touches me.
His love
is an endless love that will last through all eternity. Jesus wants to love you. There is none above you. You are precious in His sight. He will never fail you when the doubts assail you. He'll be with you day and night.
His love
is a boundless love, and it reaches down and touches me.
His love
is an endless love that will last through all eternity.
His love
is a boundless love, and it reaches down and touches me.
His love
is an endless love that will last through all eternity. His love
is a boundless love.
Else want to join me in saying amen to that? Wow. That's the kind of love that Jesus talks about in Scripture. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 27 and on, this is what it says. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Did you know that you're going to have communion with Jesus in his Father's kingdom? I'm not sure how he's going to work that. I think he's going to do a way better job than we do here on earth in leading a communion service. What do you think? But it's going to be a joy just to be there with him. And he's going to drink the cup with you and me. And you know what surprises me, people? I'm going to be drinking the cup up there with people I didn't necessarily enjoy here on earth. And so I guess somehow, you know, I just need to change my thinking. Somehow I need to prepare myself for the surprises that God's going to have for me in glory, because I think there are going to be quite a few. And I want to be prepared for them. So I need to learn to love like Jesus did and like the quartet just sang about. Because it is his love, not mine. And so if there are people that you and I can't love, guess what? That's true. But we can love them with Jesus' love. That we can do. And that takes more than I can muster up. And so that's why the passage here says, you're going to drink it with me, so be ready. He forgave everyone. How about you and I? Can we forgive everyone? I heard a man the other day kind of shoot off his mouth in antagonism against another Christian individual, and he called himself a believer. And he said, you know, I've suffered because of you. And you know what went through my mind as I stood there and listened to the conversation? I thought, Jesus suffered too, didn't he? He suffered, but he didn't rail, he didn't blame, and he didn't react that way. So if we're claiming we want to be like Jesus, we need to decide to be like Jesus. He forgave. And he forgave for everyone. He called us to total fellowship with him now and for eternity when we have communion with him again. So, are we prepared to drink together today? Are you prepared to drink with someone you don't necessarily like? Because he said in Revelation 5:9, that he created unity through his death with people from every tongue and every tribe and every nation. And so as we drink the cup, we do it in unison with others. Let's remember that. This do in remembrance of me and of what I've said. Deacons, would you come, please? Let's pray for the cup.
Father, we come before you this morning and we just thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for sending your son and for dying on the cross for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for that we can worship a risen Savior. Now, Lord, as we take this cup, let's do it in remembrance of the blood that was shed on the cross that day. In your name we pray.
Amen. Drink of the cup, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you, for the remission of sin. Let's participate together.
Thank you.
Isn't it strange that we should glorify the cross, that we should put it on our churches, wear it on our lapels and around our necks, that we should sing about it, and that it should become a symbol of faith and inspiration? The cross, a dark, dirty, excruciating way of legalized killing in the name of justice. Had the Romans chosen to hang or behead or mutilate or shoot, would we sing of the precious old rope, or would our steeples lift rifles to the sky? Isn't it moving that his love could transform the long-ago counterpart of electric chairs and gas chambers into a symbol of faith and devotion? But then love changes everything. It touches. It makes heavy burdens light, long hours short, ordinary faces beautiful, houses into homes, picnics into banquets, wilted daisies into bouquets, God into sacrifice, and sinners into saints. And if he could take a cross and fashion it like he fashioned wood in his earthly father's carpenter shop into a depiction of deepest love, doesn't it make you wonder what he might be able to do with you and me if we yielded to his love totally? Let's stand and sing together our final hymn this morning. How deep that Father's love is. Father, your wounds paid our ransom. Oh, precious thought. As we leave this place and go into the mission field, may we remember the sacrifice you made and be willing to sacrifice as well, that others might experience what we experience today. Father, fill each heart here with your love. Fill each mind with your thoughts, and may the memory of today go with us during this season. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you as you continue to celebrate the Passion Week. Friday's done, but Sunday's a-coming. God bless you as you go.